This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And welcome in right here on a Thursday. And a good afternoon to everybody. Jeff Cavanaugh's across the county there in Lake Highland Studio Day Heffrey. Zero is behind the glass there in the Pimp Cup at 75 and Fitzhugh today. He will be your producer for the next 5 hours. Myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And salute to those Texas Rangers for getting the win yesterday, Jeff. You enjoy that or what?
Enjoy. I don't know if enjoy is the word. From the eighth inning on, I did enjoy watching the game. But for me, it was they saved the season. And I know they haven't played a lot of games, but if they lost that game, I was out. I was going to ban them from the show and from my house.
Ooh. Big implications yesterday. I had no idea.
Yeah, because I was watching and I was like, holy cow, man, look at this. You know, Lance Lynn threw six innings. You're up 2-0. And I'd already tweeted out, like, if Lance Lynn wins every game he pitches this year, what will the Rangers' record be? And the options were 13-47 and C above, because they were going to lose every other game. And they didn't even let my guy get a win. Lance Lynn would be the leading vote getter for the Cy Young right now if you'd have let him get the win, but Jesse Chavez gave up runs. So, yeah, I was getting ready to quit on the team because if they had – let's see, they were down 4-2, right? If they had lost that game 4-2, that would be five games, total of 8 runs scored, and I had segments ready. I have a segment ready right now. I was going to be like, guys, you have a baseball team with 2 good pitchers and 1 good hitter.
Yeah.
You're going to lose all the games. But then everyone hit the ball – and so they saved me from doing that segment, and they saved the season. I'm back for now.
Never ever quit, guys.
We can't have just one good offensive game every five times out, though. They're going to need to go on some weeks where it's 6, 7, 8 runs or so, and then ride out the cold stretches as best as possible. But, yeah, I think there is a feeling of sobriety going around this baseball team right now, though, for a lot of fans. I was online with some Tolos last night, and one of them referred to the roster as just plain butt. And I was like, man, that sounds harsh. But if it was another team, if it was the Mariners, we would look at them and be like, yeah, that's what they do. But it's our Rangers. They got, you know, 3 pitchers in the offseason. Ruggie had a big September last year and then a good offseason. We want to believe really, really bad. And usually we don't have to confront the reality until much later in the season. If they would have just come out and been horrible, and I still do have a high degree of anxiety that they're going to be able to produce offensively consistently for us, Jeff.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to hold off on calling the season over and doing the segment where I tell you, well, if you want to know like how many guys in the Rangers lineup are proven to be at least average hitting at their position in baseball, like that there's one, I'm going to hold off on that. Yeah,
good.
I'm going to hold off. I guess maybe Chu would qualify, like he has been. But, yeah, that's what I was doing in my head last night. I go, okay, first base, you're below average. Second, you're below average. Short, you're below average. Third, you're below average. Center, you're below average. Right field, you're above average. Catcher, you're below average. And left field, you're unproven. So until proven otherwise, you're below average. And I was just like, okay. It's why painful. Are we expecting them to score runs?
Yeah, like we
you
should.
You have one good hitter.
Things happen sometimes, you know, where things just come together in a short sample size. It can be good, but in a short sample size as well, it can be bad. And that is why, Jeff, today I'm optimistic about this Rangers team because they are on equivalent. They're on the equivalent of a 2.7 game winning streak right now. They are surging. Putting together a nice little streak.
I like that. Yeah, you win another game. You're on a 5.5 game run.
You're just killing it.
That's great.
Our guy Todd Frazier had a solo home run and then a double. He was, I believe, on second when Gallo went deep to tie the game there. And the rally continued with the aforementioned Elvis, who I do strongly believe can be above average.
But that's you know why you believe that?
Because he's done it.
Yeah, he did it once, and he's my guy.
He did it early, and then he did it like 2-3 years ago.
I'm allowed to be critical of Elvis because he's my guy.
Yeah, he was your baby daddy for a long time.
But I found the pattern. Do you know when you start believing in a player?
When they're due for a new contract?
When they have a child.
Oh.
Once somebody has a kid, and I think it's because subliminally you know what it did to you, you're like, yep, he's about to mature up immediately, focus, be a whole different dude, maturity level through the roof. Yep. So I think as soon as somebody has a baby, you're on board with them.
I will give you extra leeway if you've recently had a child. Mm-hmm. I think the issue with Elvis there, while maybe it didn't lock everything in, he has had such a long and successful career. He doesn't need to have the feeling of, oh, no, I better go do my best or I won't provide as good as possible for this child. He's already providing as good as he possibly could for the child. So now it's back to, you know, with all that money in the bank, if you're broke, like you're on the 5-6 years of control that Major League Baseball has and you're making league minimum and you have a child, dude, that off season, you're going to get like as many cuts as is humanly possible.
That's grind time right there.
Yeah.
That's when you're grinding. Yeah.
This is enjoy being a dad time. This is, I could go get extra work, but look at this. Look at this child. How could I leave?
That's a fair point.
You know, and they're all new parents can relate to how difficult it can be to maintain a fitness routine when you have a child because you're up all the time. You just don't feel like exercising or eating healthy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was a good day yesterday for Elvis, and I look forward to many more to come. I think he has the talent. He had 2 or 3 good years when he first busted on the scene, and then a couple of years ago was outstanding. I know it is in there. Nick Goody had the save. They'll be in San Francisco tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here on 105.3 The Fan.
You also had the really weird situation where a guy who gives up 2 runs in his 1 inning of pitching gets to get a win.
Yeah. Like that's always unfair.
Yeah. You gave up 2 runs, but then in the bottom of the inning, your team scored 5, and so you win. Lance Lynn, you get nothing. Jonathan Hernandez gets the win.
What's Lynn get? A QS? Is that a quality start?
That's a QS. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's there a QS.
QSND. Way to go, Lance.
Yeah.
Sidebar here, I was looking to do a half segment on it or something. I don't know if it's going to make it to the show, but since you brought up Lance Lynn, boy, he burst on the scene in my favorite, let's call it, heavy set athlete rankings. Wow.
When
he brings that left leg up now, like the gut is almost on his knee. impressive. And then he turns and brings the momentum and the thunder downhill.
He gets the Colby Lewis comparison for 2 reasons. Everybody views him as like tough guy that wants to pitch a bunch of innings. He's kind of hefty.
Yeah.
Nobody really talks about the hefty part. It's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. He's not CC big, but he's a big guy.
No. But I tell you what, he might be bigger than Pablo Sandoval right now. I saw some updated pictures of him as I was previewing this Giants team, and it looks like he got shamed into a crash diet and exercising when he got back. I think the picture was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
He looked like an out-of-shape teenager. That's how his body looked.
Okay, so that reminds me of something that I was going to do for 30 seconds. As I'm watching the game, and when Willie Calhoun came in to pinch hit, and he didn't get a hit, but it was cool because it was the first time we'd seen the 3-batter minimum thing really work out into the strategy of a Rangers game, because the reliever that was in had to face a 3rd batter. So when you went Willie up there, you couldn't switch to get, you know, throwing with the proper hand.
Strategery.
And what I noticed with Willie is even though he's in really good shape now, he has still got that gigantic power bottom.
Yeah, that's important.
It's all there.
If you're not gonna be cut, you need that power bottom to excel in sports.
How much weight do you have to lose butt weight? Because he's lost a lot of weight. but that butt is everything it
I think that's a lot of muscle, you know?
Yeah, it just stays.
I think that's a power base right there. It pretty much stays. There's some chiseling you could do if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But there's no need for a guy like Willie. Just be in shape enough to field your position and run the bases, and whatever that threshold is, you're good. You don't got to go lower than that.
It's like Hagee's calves. Like, I don't think you want to live your entire life being a giant person, but if you get to there for a while and then you slim down,
dude,
I bet if Hagee started training, he'd have like a 60-inch vertical.
Yeah.
His calves, oh, they're magic.
It's like they've dropped two zucchinis back there or something. They protrude, man. They're things of beauty. Okay, I did read the MLB's determining if the Marlins will get paid for unplayed games, and Woody said earlier with KNC he does believe they should be punished. We'll have that audio for you later in the show. But I do think it's possible. You're costing people lots and lots of money, and there has to be more of a collective responsibility to, you know, keeping us afloat. It's fine if one team has that happen. Five or six teams have that happen. Now we would have to suspend play and play into the winter and all that. So I like it. I find it interesting, though, that Rob Manfred could unilaterally do this, but he couldn't punish the Astros for stealing the World Series, Jeff.
I don't want to talk about Rob Manfred, and by don't want to talk about, I mean I want to talk about it for the entire show. So today after the show, I'm going to figure out how much an MLB jersey costs.
Okay.
Because I want to buy a Joe Kelly jersey. He's now officially my guy.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't imagine being a major league player right now. And I know Kelly wasn't on the Dodgers when the Astros beat him in 2017. But I could not imagine that what you have to accept as a major league baseball player is, all right, guys, we got to the bottom of it. Bunch of their players cheated and they won the World Series. Okay, now here's what we're going to do about it. We're not going to punish any of them, but if any of you try to do anything about it, we're going to suspend you.
Yeah.
So their punishment is that they won the World Series, and that the next team who tries to cheat that way, we're going to punish them bad.
Yeah.
Them, nothing. You can do nothing about it. But if anybody else tries that, they're busted. And if anybody tries to mess with that team, they're busted. Everyone should throw at them. Everyone.
So is that how you'd feel today? Because, you know, Rob is trying to say, guys, please stop. It'll be an 8-game suspension. I'm doing everything I can. Listen.
I would throw at him tomorrow, and I would have every pitcher on my team throw at them tomorrow, and I would lobby every team in baseball to throw at them the first time you play them.
Yeah.
And I would say, let's see if Manfred's willing to suspend the entire league, because he needs to know that that's BS, that the only players that are not going to be punished for a team stealing a World Series is the team that stole the World Series. Those are the only players that are going to be okay no matter what, is those guys. And Joe Kelly is my hero, especially when he said nice swing B-word
after
he struck out. That was Correa, right? Oh, my God, it was magic. So magic.
Force the powers that be to make a change. It's essentially their protest, isn't it?
Yes, and it should be.
Yeah.
It should be. I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad that Joe Kelly did it. I'm not glad that he had a ball go up by, that was Bregman, right, where he almost hit him in the head?
I think so.
Or was that one Correa? I'm forgetting who he threw at in which way, but whatever. You don't throw at a guy's head, but yes, you should do what you can to let the Houston Astros know Major League Baseball may not have punished you, but you have to worry every at-bat that I might. Every at-bat.
Yeah, I love it, Jeff. And if that's how my team wanted to go forward, I'm with it. If we wanted to say, hey, let's drop it, we don't need to be fined, 15% of our salaries or whatever. I could go either way with you on that one. Here's how Dusty Baker, Astros interim manager, is talking about it from the Houston perspective.
Balls get away sometime, but not that many in the big leagues. When you throw a 3-0 fastball over a guy's head, I mean, now you're flirting with ending his career. And then what really enraged everybody is when he told Carlos, he struck him out. And he told him, nice swing. What are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us. you know, why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball, and, you know, he's the one that started this mess in the first place. I didn't like it at all.
The problem is humans are too prideful to just eat it. Just wear it, you know. You guys cheated and stole a World Series. They're going to cuss at you. They're really, really mad. You cheated and stole a series and did not get away with it. Just say fine. Be mentally tough, you know. You don't get to be like, well, I'm going to brawl now. Screw you. You cheated a World Series. You didn't get punished. Take your medicine.
What do you want from the league? They investigated your team. You admit that you cheated. You won the World Series that year, and you think that the entirety of Major League Baseball is going to be like, it's cool. No.
Yeah, this is
not cool.
This has been in the culture of Major League Baseball for 100 years, or over 100 years. If you cheat and, you know, get away with it, especially, we're coming after you. We're throwing at you.
That's the biggest thing. And I understand, like, people who aren't a fan of throwing a baseball at somebody, right? Oh, it's dangerous, it's childish, or whatever. But if you, as the commissioner who found out that they cheated and stole a World Series, aren't going to police the league, who the hell is going to?
Yeah.
Like, what? We just let it go? No. No way. And there's some guys that are, that'll do that. They're super mature. Congrats to them. If I were a Major League Baseball player, I would be plunking people.
Getting hits part of the game as well. We're about to guess what day it is in sports history, but, you know, just a carryover from the top stories of the day, which we do every day at 2 o'clock, everything that's big. NBA season underway tonight. Jeff, you talk about a return to sports Thursday. This is the biggest return to sports Thursday we've had since last week when Major League Baseball started.
Didn't we have another Marlin test positive? So is it also a return to pandemic?
I'm going to hold off on that. I think it's more a return to dumbassery if we look at what happened with the Marlins.
Florida man.
Yeah. I think it was the top theory is there was one player who was pretty dang irresponsible during their trip to Atlanta, and he brought it to the team.
He was sleeping around with all of them. And,
who knows? Who knows how, you know, how it went down? But that is the top theory. Tonight, Lakers, Clippers, 8 o'clock. Jazz, Pelicans, 5:30. Both games on TNT. Tomorrow, Mavs and Rockets from the bubble at 8 o'clock as the games for real are back. LeBron and Kawhi, doesn't get any better right out of the gates, Jeff. 8 o'clock tonight.
Let's go.
Hour after the show.
My TV that I moved into the studio here, I need to, it appears I need to delete some installed applications. We're having an issue with storage, which is not letting us turn on the TV.
Oh, okay. You got a smart TV there. A little overloaded.
Well, I got a Fire Stick.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who used it at some point.
They loaded it up, though.
Party Central, Snow Party, Disney CR, Hot Wheels Race Off.
Oh, that's MMX, right up Amanda's alley.
Hill Dash. When did my nephew get a hold of my TV?
I don't know, but that's awesome, man. You got like a multimedia center there in Studio Day Heffrey. You got things happening all over the place.
Yeah. The only thing that it's not is clean in any way.
It happens in a bachelor pad. It's been known to happen.
It is a train wreck.
With this action going on, by the way, the NBA saying zero players have tested positive for corona. So we're moving around the bubble. Some guys are escaping. Lou Williams is jetting off to Magic City for the Wings and partying with Jack Harlow. Dwight Howard's going no mask out here, but zero players have corona. It's awesome news because if things don't work out this year with football and we don't get a vaccine by the spring, we could just reload everything in a bubble and say, hey, guys, sorry, if you don't want to play the sport, I get it. If you do want to make millions of dollars, looks like you're coming to a bubble for 4 months. And I hate it for them, but I think it's going to – this is proving the sport can get along just fine. Any sport can go along just fine.
Yeah, the other sports would just really be really hard to bubble, right? Baseball, yeah. 30 players.
You might
plus
need
staff.
New construction. You know,
yeah.
You might need to erect things.
Yeah. 32 teams, 50 something players each.
Yeah, you might go two bubbles: an East Coast bubble, a West Coast bubble.
Okay,
you know, split it up like that.
In a central bubble, let us have one.
You know, we'll see. Maybe they're taking note and working on things to at such a furious extent they won't even have to consider it. They're going to go out there and do great. Maybe the Marlins being idiots is what explains that whole deal. It is time now, though, to guess what day it is in sports history. Here's Jeff.
Uninstalling Red Ball 4 right now off of the
Jason Garrett fan app.
I guess the updated version, number 4. 1884 on July 30th, John Edward Kelly, he fought George Full James, not to be confused with Half James or Quarter James, but George Full James, possibly the first middleweight fight with boxing gloves. So, in other words, 1883 or before, you would not have want to been a boxer because they were fighting without gloves. I can't believe that was a thing.
Yeah, my hands would be broken. Your face would be broken. What are we doing?
How many people did they kill?
I think it must have just been like our how we look at headgear. Like, that's not boxing. I don't want to watch this. I'm not interested in the points.
Yeah, I guess I do look at boxing if they're wearing headgear, and I'm like, what is it? What are we doing? I don't understand. Boxing, you get punched in the face. The end. You don't get a cushion.
Yeah.
So whoever the bare-knuckle champ, if he teleported to here, he'd be like, holy cow, you're all P-words.
Yeah.
None of you want it with me.
This is going to be easy.
What voice did he have?
That right I don't know. I'm thinking about the wax mustache guy, okay. You know, in the suit.
Fighting like this. Both arms are turned in a weird direction.
Yeah, he's got like suit trousers on while he's in the ring, but his shirt off.
1965, Milwaukee manager Bobby Bregan says his pitchers threw 75 to 80 spitballs in a 9-2 loss to the Giants. So he had terrible pitchers. They were throwing spitballs and still couldn't get outs.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too effective. I might look at something else.
1966, the FIFA World Cup final. I'll never forget it, watching this game. Wembley Stadium, London, England.
Brilliant.
Striker Geoff Hertz scored a hat trick. England Ooh. Took down West Germany 4-2 after extra time.
Lovely.
That's the clutch gene there. Extra time.
Is that the last time England won it? Maybe.
I
believe so. They might be back, though. They got a lot of talent, I tell you.
Don't ask me that. 1971, the 38th NFL Chicago All-Star Game. Baltimore took down the All-Stars 24-17. These college kids, they just can't beat the pros. Who'd have thunk it?
They did once, right? The Cowboys lose to them? No, the Cowboys didn't lose to them. Giants lost to them.
Whoever did, it's embarrassing.
We should bring it back, though. Pretty awesome. Get the kids money, get the pros money.
The kids aren't playing in that, and neither are the pros for totally different reasons.
Gonna have to write a big check.
1973, I was in the stands when Jim Bibby for the Texas Rangers no-hit the first place Oakland A's, 1-6-0. It's a great day for my family and I.
You say nice swing B word when he got his final out.
I like how Dusty Baker pretends that he just randomly called somebody a B as if the batter before, either you or one of your players told him, get back on the mound, MF-er. And we're just like, that didn't happen. He just was cussing at us.
Unreal.
The Astros, I loathe the Astros. 1983, weightlifter Sergey Didjic. He's from the USSR. He jerked a record 261 kilograms. That's some good jerking from Sergey.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, it's because we don't know what kilograms are.
It's 575.4 pounds, Jeff. Thanks
sound
for
like
asking.
More now? Does it sound like more now?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I submit that we use weights, not kilograms. Pounds, not kilograms.
Okay.
In Olympic events.
In 1990... his second or third time in this segment, Graham Gooch, the great Graham Gooch, as we call him, scored 123 against India to follow up first innings 333. So Graham Gooch, one of my favorite cricketers of all time. And that's it. That's what day it is.
Lovely indeed. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports. Pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. And that, my friends, is your G-Bag of the Day. Zero filling in for Lucius all week long. How the heck are you back there, Zero?
Doing good, Gavin. How you doing?
Outstanding,
Jeff,
man.
Doing all right?
Yeah. Deleting Party Central now off of the Fire Stick.
Who is our champion, Zach?
We have Bobby and his birthday cameo, sir. His shout-out for Mr. Zach Wolchuk.
What's up, Zach? What's up, Zach? What's up, Zach, my friend? How are you? Or I can say Wooly Bully.
Wooly Bully.
Wooly Bully. I hope I said it right. Yeah, Zach, look at this. I know you work on radio, and amazing thing, it's, yeah, for sure you will do that better than me. Like, I mean, like 100 times better. But we are here because me want to wish you happy birthday, my friend. All best, yeah, do the best here. That radio, amazing voice, and sky is limit. And you guys here, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful birthday, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Enjoying every moment spending in this beautiful life. And la-la from me, guys. Take care, Wooly Bully. And Zach, my friend. Hey, look, let's go sing for Zach, sing one more song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Zach from Boban. Happy birthday to you guys. Bye-bye.
Love it.
God, I love Boban.
Why did he break into song 5 different times?
I guess that's just the brilliance of Boban. He could be an entertainer, couldn't he?
Yes.
Put that guy like – and I just love that he has retained so much of his European accent. That just – it sends it over the top. That's pure entertainment right there. You know, you get him and Marshawn Lynch together. Game over. Internet won.
That'd be good.
Who's challenging our two-time champion, Boban?
Two-time Boban. Last night, I was producing for the Texas Rangers, Matt Hicks and Eric Nadell, and I came across this word that Hicksie decided to use. His vocabulary is pretty deep, man.
Yeah, he was awkwardly stretched backwards while running to make that catch. Took somewhat of an asymptotal route in the corner. It was weird looking.
What?
What kind of route was that?
Like an asymptote. Like he approached the line, but he never got to it. He kept getting closer and closer to the line.
An asymptote.
Asym.
Oh,
P. Asymptotal.
I was wondering if we could say that on the air.
Yeah, well, we did.
Here's the one, did.
Yeah, sure enough. Asymptote. A line that continually approaches a given curve, but does not meet it at any finite distance.
How about that?
How the hell did he know that word?
I don't know, man. That's like calculus from high school. I have no idea.
You had calculus in high school? Man, you must be much younger than me. I'd have failed that.
I was trying to figure out legit what ass in total meant. Like, is that mean I was playing with my butt or?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I'll tell you this. I was trying to look that word up the entire time he was talking.
Ass in total route.
I could not look that word up until he spelled it.
Yeah, I was A-S-E-S, maybe.
I was A-S-I-N. I didn't know what we were doing.
Well, salute to Matt Hicks. He's right up there with Reggie with the top vocabulary on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Rangers. Off tonight, pregame tomorrow night, 7:30 with the first pitch at 8. Who else is challenging Zero?
Got another broadcaster taking shots at the Astros. This time it's former Rangers pitching coach Oral Hershiser. Yeah.
Strike three call. Perhaps guessing something else. Two out.
Guessing's harder than knowing.
By a bunch.
Oral has such a dry personality, but some of the things he says, you know, it's like a Confucius wisdom reading or something. You know, guessing is harder than knowing.
It is. It is. It's factual and a very subtle shot. I support the subtle shot. I also support throwing it right in their rib cage.
Dropping the hammer on him. It is. It's. I thought maybe the announcers would get word, hey, no shots at the Astros anymore. Major League Baseball, we're trying to move on. We're suspending the players. But that memo did not come out yesterday after some, I forget who the team was earlier in the week, just dropping the hammer on them. But there is your champion and two challengers. Is it Bobby with the birthday cameo for the Wooly Bully? Is it Matt Hicks' vocabulary or asymptotal? Is it another broadcaster taking shots at the Astros? This time, World Series MVP Oral Hershiser took down the A's back in the day. I'll vote for Bobby once again. Let's see if we can make this three, gentlemen. How about you guys?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I agree.
No, I'm gonna go with Matt Hicks, man. That asymptotal route was pretty
dang
solid.
Good.
Would you have gone with Matt Hicks if Boban hadn't already won?
Good question. It's all right.
No.
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably not.
Look at that. Man didn't vote his conscience.
No.
Throwing Matt Hicks some love, though.
Yeah.
You got to take care of all your guys. Hicks is one of his guys, too, as a producer.
Yeah.
He's doing the show. He's doing the baseball. Can't leave anybody left out on that. He'd be playing favorites as a producer. It's career suicide. All right, Nation, welcome back. We have the most compelling competitions in NFL training camps. This is from NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal. You trust him, don't you, Jeff?
Yes, Greg will probably never be banned from the show.
He does some solid work.
Yeah, I think he'll make it.
Okay, so where are the key Cowboys camp battles? We'll talk about that. And where do they rank as the most compelling? Because Greg did go about posting up the most intriguing, at least in his opinion. Number one, we go to Chicago, Mitch Trubisky versus Nick Foles. Jeff, I think Trubisky could still be pretty good, but they don't have in Chicago what it's going to take to create those dynamics. So I don't know. Can they go back to the basic kind of offense they ran in 2018 and allow Trubisky to be successful? You're going to have to play a completely different style with Nick Foles. So I could see where the organization would really, really be pulling for Trubisky here. But there's going to be no doubt Nick Foles is the better player, right?
Yeah, I just don't know for sure when you figure that out, because Trubisky's the better athlete, right? When he was good, he was running around all over the place. He can't throw to his left, which is weird.
But
yeah, very strange. Which way could he not turn? Was it left?
I believe it was left, yeah.
It was left. Okay, so this is a common thing. People have issues to the left. But this is the no preseason thing. How do you know? I mean, you're practicing. But for, like, Trubisky, if you were going to say, hey, you guys are legitimately even going in, we're having a competition, what he brings that's better than Nick Foles is athleticism, which you'll never really get to play around with in camp because you just immediately blow a whistle early when anyone gets anywhere near a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like they just had to pick who it's going to be before the season starts and just go, yep, you're it.
So probably going back and forth, though, because, you know, while I say that about Nick Foles, they're going to lose. He's not going to play like a superstar. And Trubisky will go in around week 5 or 6 when they're sitting there with 1 or 2 wins, right? And then he'll fail, and they'll come back and ultimately decide they got to blow it up.
Okay, no, that's good. What's the Vegas over-under on how many times they switch? 1.5 or 2.5?
I think 2.5 would be the over-under. You give one guy a shot, he sucks. The other guy takes the shot, he sucks. And then there could be a third stringer come on board. You know, there a lot of different things could happen.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, trying to build momentum for the next season will come alive. It also really, you know, depends on what happens with how ownership looks at the coaching staff and the front office, because they'll probably want to, you know, make a move at the end of the year. Okay, San Francisco 49ers come in second. Brandon Ayuk versus Jalen Hurd versus Dante Pettis versus Trent Taylor versus Richie James.
Oh, okay. Is that for a starting spot?
The Battle Royale looms large in light of a recent revelation that Deebo Samuel could miss the beginning of the season. Kendrick Bourne not listed above because he's locked in as a quality slot receiver. Ayuk, yards after the catch monster in college, and rookie first-round pick will be able to develop quickly. Kyle Shanahan's system manufactures rushing yards on command, but it's asking a lot to turn this many question marks at wide receiver into a cohesive group. James, a third-year pro, has been placed on the reserve COVID list. So they're looking for a wide receiver to step up. If it's not Brandon Ayuk, I don't think any of those other guys generates that much optimism, but it's entirely possible Ayuk isn't ready yet.
Yeah, that actually is a fun battle, because I remember Hurd and Pettis as guys that we kind of liked watching them in college and when they were coming into the league. But you got to imagine, you're playing your first-round pick. That's a first-round wide receiver. Like, I'm sure on this list somewhere is going to be Justin Herbert versus Tyrod Taylor. That's different. Your quarterback, sure, you're going to be here forever. We're going to wait until we think you're ready, plus we got a capable veteran. But you're a first-round receiver. Go play football. You got to imagine Ayuk wins that.
Number three is actually the 49ers running back group. Is he broke down the the most compelling camp battles. That to me is not that interesting, Jeff, because I think they'll end up just splitting carries with those three guys.
Yeah, who are the other two? Because I know Mostert. Oh, wait, Tevin Coleman's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, and they got Jerick McKinnon out there too now.
Wow, so they got a lot of guys that are actually kind of paid. Because Mostert just got a raise because he complained. He was like, guys, I wasn't supposed to be the running back, and then I was really good at it. Can I have more money? And they were like, fine. So they gave him some more money.
Instead of paying one guy $12 million, you pay a collection of guys around $15 million. Maybe that's not ideal, but if you're committed to the collection of running backs and you know you're going to get veteran quality and have three different guys, I have depth, it's a little bit too much money on the position, but you get a lot of certainty for that. And if you're going to run the ball as much as they do, having a lot of smart guys who understand what they're seeing, can help in pass protection, know what the coach is asking them to do. They've been around the NFL for a long time and seen everything. I think you're getting good value out of that.
That's a great point, Gavin. I would go with three running backs for $3 million.
There you go.
Total.
Of course you would. Of course you would. Okay. Lions, running back DeAndre Swift versus Kerryon Johnson.
Woo!
You like that one?
I do. I think that's... Maybe they're kind of going with my theory, but they went a little too strong at it because Kerryon Johnson, I don't remember exactly, but he might have been a second or third round pick. And then Swift, he made it into the second round, I believe. But yeah, that's the right way to do it. They've got two good backs.
Yeah.
Neither one of them's ever going to – well, they'll make good money one day if one of them's great from somebody else. But that's how you do running back. Second,
Johnson
third
can't
round.
Stay healthy. I thought he was going to have a great NFL career and hasn't been able to get off the ground quite yet, but it's still in there.
Yeah, and Swift is super talented.
With the Rams, the running back competition juicy is there as well. Malcolm Brown versus Cam Akers versus Daryl Henderson. They are the fifth most compelling camp battle in the NFC. At six, linebacker Isaiah Simmons versus Devondre Campbell. At linebacker there in Arizona.
No,
I don't know if you take a guy sixth overall.
Yeah, top 10 guy.
Eighth overall.
Top 10 guy is, he is not in a camp battle. Unless he shows up and they're like, wait, how come you don't know football? And he's going to be like, well, I do because I've played 900 positions. You did not draft a guy in the top 10 who has a camp battle.
At number seven, New Orleans Saints backup quarterback, Winston versus Taysom Hill, Jeff. Is that a real camp battle?
Wait, no, because Taysom Hill is a bit, and Jameis Winston's a quarterback. Taysom Hill is, Sean Payton's so smart, and he's a really good play caller, and he's got a great offensive mind, and yet he still confuses me. Because he will take Drew Brees off the field on third down sometimes. And I'm just like, well, I get it, he's fun, and it's different. But what about your Hall of Famer? Like, don't – or sometimes he'll put Brees out at the left wide receiver, like he's going to go run a post route.
Yeah.
The Taysom Hill thing, I don't get it.
The good parts of Jameis Winston are Hall of Fame quality talent. Just get better ball security. Take 10% less risks. Give me something to work with here. That would be my – there's no way Hill is ever an every down quarterback in this league.
I could draw you a – scenario, you have a quarterback who's an actual quarterback that like gets hurt, but your team's really, really good, and you say, hey Taysom, I want you to come in here and be a fake Lamar Jackson. I want you to be a less athletic who can't throw it as well Lamar Jackson. And then Taysom Hill will be like, okay, and you just do the thing where they have to account for your quarterback and he runs the ball 150 times over the course of a year. And if you got a good defense, it might work. But no, he'll never be a real quarterback.
In the interest of time, we'll jump ahead three spots to the 11th most compelling camp battles in the NFC. It's in Philadelphia, Jalen Reagor versus J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. We're rooting for Arcega-Whiteside here, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah, because he's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We would love to see the worst player be the starter.
I mean, no disrespect to Mr. TCU, but the last time a TCU wide receiver went in division, it ended terribly for the Washington football team. And it was good news for the Cowboys. Hate to say it.
Yeah, it would be – it's – no, I'm not going to do that to him. I like Jalen Reagor. I'm not going to wish
he
bust
is awesome.
On him. I don't want to wish bust on him, although it would be better for the team that we want to see do well if he were.
He's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential out there. So
he dealt with we watch a lot of bad football when we're watching college football tape. There's a lot of real bad football. I didn't see worse quarterback play than TCU last year from anything we watched.
Jeez.
That was the worst quarterback play I saw in watching tape. It was atrocious. If he went to pick a school, he'd have had 1,400 yards last year.
Number 12 is the Cowboys with Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, saying the most juicy, and I agree with him, is Aldon Smith versus Dorrance Armstrong and Tyrone Crawford. There's your opportunity to have something really dramatically change. And after going through this list, I might put that at the top of my NFC rankings if I was doing it. Aldon Smith, an all-pro coming back after 5 years away, what's he going to do? That's juicy.
I think that's why camp battles are fun, because – I think most of the time, the vast majority are rooting for someone, and it's the same someone.
Yeah.
Tyrone Crawford, cool. We like him. Good player. Who's not rooting for Aldon Smith to be the starter?
Yeah.
And when you do that at any other spot in there, who's not rooting for the younger player to win?
Hey, because Aldon Smith gives you upside from what the baseline expectation is. What if McCoy can turn back the clock, or Don Terry Poe can really be a force and a plug there in the middle? Other camp battles of interest for you, Jeff, here as we get set to get underway and practice in a couple of weeks officially out there at training camp?
I think they only have a few. Corner, safety, if Cheeto's moving, but I don't know if he is or not. So for now, it's left guard and center. And the fun part about that is I don't know which names to say at which position.
Yeah.
Because somebody might say, well, the guard battle is between Connor Williams and Connor McGovern. And I'm like, wait, why wouldn't you consider Connor McGovern as your starting center?
Yeah.
And if Joe Looney's not going to be the starting center, why wouldn't he be competing for the left guard job? And Tyler Biotish wants to be the starting center. And on that, I just hope that there is a hit in there somewhere.
Yeah, and I feel like the floor on the center guard combo on the left side there is decently high. You have experience, you have draft picks. You know, there's quality there. It's not like you're throwing undrafted guys and complete guys off the street who've been washed out veterans at it.
Yeah.
It's still young guys who are athletic and you liked them when you drafted them.
Yeah.
And then Joe Looney, who played a year at, you know, baseline acceptable, baseline sufficient.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.